Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I've got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to talk about the Blackhawks. They dropped another one to the Islanders recently, and maybe some a little bit of NHL news. But to get into that Islanders game, Marc-Andre Fleury started, and I want to say that I absolutely really like his helmet now. I like how he's got that rose gold grill on that red helmet, man. I think that really, really looks sharp, Matt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, nothing will ever beat Eddie the Eagle's helmet.
But no. Sweet. I mean, that goes without saying. Absolutely. It does. 100%. But I really like it.
We need to get some wins. We need to get some wins.
We do. And I'll tell you what, man, the Hawks put together a really strong game between that first and second period. They were hitting. They seemed to be on the same page. But the puck was not going into the net, man. Sorokin was, to be honest with you,
very good.
Excellent. He was excellent that game. And you can't really put the fault on the Blackhawks because Sorokin was lights out, dude, the entire game. And then the third period came and the Hawks held them off on the power play, but on the PK, they did not score on the power play, but the floodgates opened for some reason. There was some botched communication, and before you knew it, the game was 4-0, and it was completely demoralizing. And another loss for the Blackhawks and the fan base calling for Jeremy Colladin's job. We'll get to that in a second, but you can't really put the fault on the players, to be honest with you, because the Sorokin was just lights out.
Yeah, 39 saves. He was good. And then they got this kid, I believe it's Wallstrom. He was just, he had 8 shots that game, and he had 2 goals. That team, the Islanders looked like the Islanders. Like,
yeah,
the team
did.
That I picked to win a Stanley Cup. They're just, their depth, they got good players. I seen Barzal skating circles around some guys. He's going to be good. I think he didn't get any points, but he definitely was all over the place.
He was all over the place, but I didn't see him as the dynamic player that I typically see him as. You know, like I was like, yeah, this guy's fast, but I didn't see much out of him that day. I will tell you that Cal Clutterbuck played a really, really good game. So did what Matt Martin hit.
That fourth line is great.
It is. He had a pretty vicious hit on Mike Hardman and put him into the boards. Mike Hardman has a head laceration that's got him sidelined for right now. But right afterwards, Juju Kyra came out and stuck up for his teammate. And it's something that they've been doing all year. I love it. They haven't been doing it the past couple years. It's when guys are getting hit questionably. Teammates are there to back them up and let other guys know that you can't do that shit. And you know what, man? I really like that. And really quickly, I want to do a couple shout outs to Dorise LeBeau and her mother, Judy Myers, that are Blackhawks fans. I just wanted to give them a quick shout out in the middle of the podcast, and we can get right back to it, man. You know, we have fans everywhere, and I think that to let everybody know that me and Matt are very appreciative of the support from everyone and from everywhere. You know, we get messages from all over Twitter, from all over the United States. We've got some fans in Japan. We've got some fans in Australia. We've got some fans in Canada. We're actually growing in Canada, which is great because it's like, you know, hockey country out there. So anyways, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And because we're doing really, really great right now. We hit the 1,000 downloads for the last month. Yesterday, I think we hit 1,019, which is the most we've ever had. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
And we're going to get right back into it. So, Hawks, they lost. A lot of people are upset. What is going on with the coaching situation? Is now the time to let this coach go, man? Is it, you know, four games in, they're 0-3-1, and they haven't won a game yet?
Yeah, well, like I said, when Savvy was fired before Coach Q came in, he was given 4 games, and I think the Hawks were like maybe 1-2-1 or something. Mm. And that's not something that you fire a coach over, but they did. I mean, it worked out. We ended up getting our 3 cups, but this team, what are we, 0-4-1, I believe?
0-3-1 right now.
Yeah, and it could be 0-4-1 after tonight if they don't get it together. But I think you got to do something early, man, because if we wait too long, you're playing catch up, and everybody's winning, it seems like, except for the Hawks and the Habs.
Well, you know, the Islanders won their first game the other day on Tuesday against the Hawks. So yeah, we're not the only guys.
They actually did drop a game in OT tonight against the Jackets, the surprising Blue Jackets.
Wow.
And yeah, Patrick Laine with another overtime winner. But getting back, yeah, I think if you're going to do something, now's the time. Bowman built the team to be better than it was last year, and I think he's expecting a playoff push here. And the way we're playing, we haven't even won a period yet. So we gotta buckle down. We gotta get someone to. I've been hearing Mark Crawford might take over, which,
yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that. I could see it happening, but it's got to be the same thing. I mean, he's on the bench with this guy. What he can easily give some input in, but I. Like we talked about before, I think a defensive-minded coach would be the right thing to do. I've also heard rumors of Quinn, the Team USA coach for the Olympics.
Really?
And I also heard that because, you know, Bowman is the GM of that team, you know, and he's building a team with this guy, and he could say, hey, why don't you come coach the Hawks for me? But I've heard that. I'm not sure. We'd have to ask the boys from the 30 on Broadway about him, because I don't think they liked him either. I think they're very happy with Gerard Gallant. I wouldn't blame him. He's a good coach. He's, you know, he's won pretty much everywhere he's gone. I mean, he hasn't won a cup, but he knows how to get a winning team going. But, you know, you got to see a list of who's available. I know Bruce Boudreau has been available for a while. He's offensive minded too. I don't think that would really help us. But what are your thoughts?
You know what? With Mark Crawford, he's won a cup. And I'll tell you what, man, he won a cup with a Colorado Avalanche team that went against a really, really tough Red Wings team. I'm talking about one of the toughest teams probably ever assembled in NHL's history. Steve Yzerman in his prime, Sergei Fedorov tearing it up, man. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about heavy, heavy hitters that were in this league. Some of the best players to ever play. Chris Osgood was the backup at the time. Mike Vernon, you know, that Red Wings team was absolutely incredible. Vladimir Konstantinov, Brendan Shanahan, you know.
Well, it just keeps going.
Every guy that I just named in the Hall of Fame, you know.
Darren McCarty was an animal. Fourth line guy, and he was scoring highlight reel goals.
He was, and yeah. he was putting the hurting on guys too. You know, so he knows how to lead a team to a championship. I think that he, in his experience, I think that he knows what's wrong with the Blackhawks. It's not his team to make the changes, and he can't really do that yet. But if you're to be the head coach, you know, hey man, why not? He's a cup winning coach. He's been around the guys. The guys already know him, you know, so he could rally the guys.
Look at his roster too, though. I mean, we said Detroit's roster was good, but his roster was pretty damn good.
Forsberg, Joe Sakic,
Patrick Waugh, a two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Habs.
And, yeah,
I mean, you got Adam Foote. Yeah, I think they had Rob Blake that year too.
They did. They also had the best agitator of all time in Claude Lemieux.
Yeah. Oh, those were some wars. I remember
Curtis Lechishin.
I remember Mike Riecke.
He was another great agitator.
Oh God, he's an ugly mother, but he was a good hockey player. But I watched a game. I'll never forget it. I might have been 10 years old. If it was 96, correct? I think I was about 10 years old. I remember going to my dad's friend's house. We were watching it on ESPN, and I see Mike Vernon drop the gloves. Patrick Watt at the red line already taunting him, like, get over here, let's go. It was just an absolute line brawl.
Incredible.
Huge rivalry. I mean, there's a great video on YouTube. You can watch this. The guy did an excellent job on it. Like, I think they called it the snowball effect. With one hit that Claude Lemieux, that dirty hit, I believe it was on, Chris Draper?
Yes, it was on Chris Draper. Yeah.
And that just started World War III, and it was a great rivalry. It still is, honestly. They still have bad blood. I mean, obviously, these players have retired, but If they had a 30 for 30 on it, I couldn't wait to see that. I would watch that, the debut of that.
The cool thing is that they ran it back the next season too. The Red Wings won the next season, but they brawled again the next season, and Chris Osgood fought Raw.
I know Darren McCarty has a podcast that's really good. He was saying, I was picking my right time to get Claude Lemieux back, and I think he ended up getting him in the third or fourth game they met. And I just remember Darren McCarty having a great playoff series. I mean, he was skating through these guys, and he looked like Peter Forsberg out there on some of the moves.
I remember him skating through guys and scoring goals, and then on the very next shift, just putting guys into the third row.
He was a great fourth line player. He's a Red Wing legend.
Yeah, he is.
Really is.
But actually, back to the task at hand, you know, the coaching situation for the Chicago Blackhawks. I know that you really want John Tortorella. I think that he could definitely help with our defensive woes. Is he willing to take the job? I don't know. You know, Mark Crawford just seems like more of a cleaner entrance for a coach than, you know, bringing a brand new guy in with an already established.
I would fire all three of them.
Really?
Yeah, you got to start from scratch. You don't want anything that has Colleton on it.
Right in the middle of the season, though?
Yeah.
And you know what? Colleton didn't even really name his coaching staff. Didn't Bowman do that?
No, Bowman did. And I think Crawford was probably brought here to be that next guy in case it got like this.
Right.
Because I think Bowman still wants this style of play as well. But if you brought in a guy like Tortorella, these players, to be honest, they would be scared shitless. I really believe that. I think these guys, this guy's tough. You know, this guy, he doesn't put up with any crap. I got to bring my A game every night. Do you remember when he came to Columbus? That team was absolute trash.
They were trash.
New York, the Rangers were trash and he fixed them. I know it didn't work out in Vancouver for him, but a lot of players, they like him. Like they say, he's tough. Yeah, he's tough. But then once you get on the right style with him, he's an awesome coach to be around, and they like playing for him. But I think he still would be the coach if it wasn't for Patrick Laine in Columbus.
Really?
Because, yes, I think that team needed a superstar, like a sniper, and they got it. And when your coach is benching the guy that you just brought over and you gave up a good piece to get, that's not good. So I think he wasn't fired, but they parted ways. I think Torts saw the writing on the wall, like, hey, I guess it's not working here, and they're going to go with this. They're going to go with this young superstar, and he can't play under my system. And I know he's with ESPN now. It's a safe job. I would love to listen. I want to hear his analysts on game. I want to hear his non-BS stuff, kind of like how we do. You know, we're not going to be like, what's his name? Peter Boyle or whatever his name is.
Oh, Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle. Like, oh, the Blackhawks look good in this. And come on, man. We just lost 5-1. There was nothing good about tonight. Come on. But Torts is like that. But getting back to coaching the Hawks, I've read an article last year of him. He was complimenting the United Center fans. He's like, it's a damn shame that that building is empty right now because of the pandemic and stuff. He goes, this place, I get the chills, and I'm an away coach when they're doing that anthem. It's amazing. So I think he sees it. It's an awesome place to coach. Coach Q will say the same thing. But Tortorella, if he came here, he's got good pieces already. He knows Patrick Kane. He's been on the Olympic team with him.
He loves Patrick Kane.
And he'll let Kaner be Kaner. He's not going to... Maybe Kaner's numbers will go down a little bit, but the team defense as a whole will be better. I guarantee you the numbers, the goals against and the shots will go down as soon as he came here. I guarantee it.
Well, it's interesting. We'll have to see what happens. Let's move on to some NHL news, though. You know, I was watching the Flyers game yesterday with the Bruins, and that was a pretty close game. What's his name? Taylor Hall had a goal in that one. Real pretty nice one. I think it was his first goal of the season. It was a really close game, and then when the fourth period came around, it was actually the same story. It just got away from him. The next thing I know, I think they lost 5-2 or 6-3 or something like that.
Cam Atkinson, man, he has been a hell of a pickup for the Flyers. He is I got him on my fantasy team, and he's been one of my best players so far.
He had a great goal yesterday.
He had two of them. I can't believe that the Islanders let this guy, or not the Islanders, I'm sorry, the Blue Jackets let this guy go, because he loves that team, loves the city, and they traded him for Voracek, and I don't see it, man. I know it's working out right now for both teams. They're both winning right now, but I'm never going to understand that trade.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was kind of the same thing with the Victor Arvidsson thing. I didn't see why these two guys were who I thought were organization mainstays for these teams that got traded away to other teams.
Well, that was what is his stinking name?
Arvidsson?
David Pulley, the GM of
of the Predators.
Pulley, yeah, he's a great GM, knows his stuff. He says, you know what? He protected a guy. A younger guy, and he said he didn't have any protection for Arvidsson. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to trade him and get something for him instead of losing him for nothing. That was his excuse, or that was his reasoning. But I know LA, they've been good, man. I mean, Kopitar's been on fire, and Arvidsson's fitting right in on that team as well.
He's probably on fire because, you know, moving on to the, you know, to Los Angeles, because he's been having some of the responsibility taken off of his shoulders, which I hope kind of happens with Jonathan Toews and Tyler Johnson. You know, I think Tyler Johnson could take some of that burden off of Toews. And Tyler Johnson and Borgstrom can take some of that weight off of him, because Borgstrom's been playing pretty well. He's been passing the puck pretty well, and he's been winning some faceoffs.
Well, that's what Tyler Johnson did in Tampa. They didn't have any room for him in that top six anymore. Cooper said, hey, I got to put you down here, and he did great. He was scoring goals too. I think he was on the third or fourth line at times. He was kind of flipping.
Mm-hmm.
But he played that role great, and that's great. We know he can do it. They should let him do it. Let Taser be Taser, and hopefully he can get back on track. I know he hasn't put any points up yet. We know he's a slow starter, but once he gets going, he'll get going, and it's good.
Yeah, and you know, take into consideration he hasn't played in like 400 days. Yeah, you know, he's coming right back in, man, and he's winning faceoffs, which is really huge for us, and he's contributing.
Yeah, he wins faceoffs. He's on the penalty kill, power play. He's still doing fine. Once you get that first one, it's going to get easier.
He's out there killing one right now.
Oh, yep. Hey, we're 3-1 Vancouver.
2-1.
Yeah, you got the delay there, buddy.
Oh, they scored on this power play here?
Yeah, and you know what? Jake McCabe made a great play, great block shot. And you know what? It sucks. It's a 5-on-3. That's what's killing us, man. The goaltending has been good. I thought Lankinen's been moving post to post very well. And
yeah, did you see that? That was Jones right there, man.
Seth Jones missed. Yeah. But yeah, 3-1, 1 minute left in the second. You never want to give up a goal with about a minute left in a period or a beginning of the period. And the Hawks do that a lot. And then you got to go in the locker room thinking all about it.
He shouldn't have been playing the body. He should have been playing the puck right there.
Yeah, they're chasing the puck. It's 5-on-3, and Lincoln just made a huge save. But getting back to what we were talking about, Taser. Yeah, I think I'd actually like to see Taser maybe move down to the third line and let him worry about, you know, playing against these top guys for a while, and maybe the goals will come that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be a good idea, and then just move up, what is it, Doc, to the second line, him and Hagel, and what? You know, man, they've really been mixing up the lines, though, so I'm kind of losing track on who's playing with who.
Well, yeah, he's got no choice. He's got to find something that gets him going.
And Doc's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, Kirby's been good, man. That pass he made against the Islanders the last minute of the game, that no-look backhand pass.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Absolutely
beautiful. That's just pure skill right there.
That's him. You know, that's his type of game. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I was really surprised by that DeBrincat-Borgstrom that combination that they had in the last game during versus the Islanders. I thought they played really well together.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought they were Kirby Doc, I think, can play with anybody, and he'll make them better. But I'd like to see him play with Kaner more. I really would. Yeah. I think that's just too much skill to contain if you're the other team, you know?
Yeah. So what's going on with the Ducks, man? I haven't really looked at anything going on with them recently.
I heard Gibson got hurt, but he ended up coming back, and they've been pretty good actually under the radar. They're losing tonight 3-1 against the Jets, but they're a rebuilding team. No one's really expecting anything from them, but the veteran defensemen like Cam Fowler and Shattenkirk are actually having good starts to their season. I think they're both like 3 or 4 points apiece, which is pretty damn good for Shattenkirk's kind of up there now.
And, yeah, he is definitely.
You know, they got Ryan Getzlaf leading these guys. It's a great guy to kind of follow and learn from if you're a young forward up there. And I think they're going to be pretty good. I do. Give them a couple years. They got some really good young guys. And I think they have McTavish, who was their draft pick. And I think he might be hurt, but he's had a great start, too. I think it's actually Craig McTavish's son, I want to say.
Really?
I think so.
Does he wear a helmet?
He has to, and a visor.
I'm joking. I think McTavish was the last guy in the NHL to play without wearing a helmet.
Great faceoff man, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I think he won the cup with the Rangers. What was that, 94? He won the last faceoff of that to win the Stanley Cup that year.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was him.
So Brady Tkachuk made his debut tonight, but it got spoiled. They lost tonight. I believe they played the Sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
They played the Sharks. They lost. Hey, do you know if he's wearing the C?
He had an A on.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, oh, that's who's
you know
their
what? Who's on their way home? They were talking about that. The guys from NHL tonight. They were saying, "Is Brady gonna?" They're like, "Can you imagine if he comes out with a C on?" Because he was kind of firing up the crowd in a little clip before the game, and you know what, he'll be, I think he's going to be the future captain. He looked pretty good for missing, you know, a couple of weeks of gameplay. You know, he didn't have any preseason, or you know, he missed the first couple games of the season, but he looked pretty good. Getting a point in your first game is always a good thing too.
Well, he was skating in Michigan with
the Hughes,
who, yeah,
Quinn Hughes, right? Yeah,
Quinn Hughes and Elias Peterson.
Yeah, they and I think who was running it? Was it Quinn Hughes's dad?
Yeah, it was just Quinn Hughes' dad.
Yeah, he was running. Yeah, he's got a lot of kids in the NHL, so he's doing something right.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he's got some very talented kids in the NHL.
Well, speaking of his other kid, he has a separated shoulder.
Yeah, dislocated Jack. Shoulder.
Yeah.
He's got, what did he have, 3 points in 2 games to start the season?
He had a big goal against the Hawks.
Yeah, he did.
To put us away. Yeah. He, you know what? Last year he had a better, good bounce back season. And, you know, he was on his way having the same season and this little injury. He'll be back, though. It shouldn't be that long, I don't think.
Well, hopefully not, because he looked really good. Probably the best that I've seen him. This is the best I've ever seen him, to be honest with you, because I think that he's just been undersized coming into the NHL at such a young age.
Yeah.
But I think that he's grown into the game. Maybe the game is slowing down for him a little bit, but he looked really, really good.
We know who's been looking good is Sergei Bobrovsky. He won another game tonight against the Avalanche, which I thought could easily be a Stanley Cup final preview. Coach Q has got these guys, man, lights out. They're playing great. Spencer Knight was in the other night against Tampa. He looked great. He looked like he's been in the league for about 6 years steady.
Right.
And they beat Colorado tonight 4-1. And that Sam Bennett they got from Calgary, a trade last year, he has just been just tearing it up. I think he had a hat trick 2 games ago, and he got another goal tonight. Bob is 3-0.
Yeah, I believe he's
Spencer
got third.
Spencer Knight is 1-0. Yeah,
right.
But they're looking good, man. They made a statement against Tampa, like, "Hey, move over, it's our turn." And
yeah, they did.
They're looking good, man. And well, Colorado, it's kind of concerning. They're like, I think they're 1-4 now. Their only win was against the Blackhawks. So I mean, I know McKinnon was out with the COVID for a while, but yeah, It's something to be concerned about, but it's still pretty early. I think they're going to be okay.
Well, great, man. You know, I think this has been a good podcast, to be honest with you. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody that has been listening to us. We're incredibly appreciative. Do us a favor, if this is your first time, hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. And so that way you don't miss out on future podcasts that we release. And send us a message so that we can give you a shout out, or, you know, just talk some hockey, because we love talking hockey. But that's all that we got for you guys tonight. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.